Why don't you let me know you? Why don't you let the worship team know how much you appreciate their wonderful contribution to our time? We are grateful to you, man. Wasn't that awesome? Just so much reminded of our Lord. Wow, short person's been at this stand here lately. I wonder who that could be. Let's see if we. That's better. Why don't you stand in awe of our God and respect for His Word? We're going to read from Matthew. We're in that series now, Epic Lessons for Life. We're looking at the fourth one. It's in the Gospel of Luke, excuse me, Luke 12. I'm already thinking beyond Easter because in my time away, I began to plan some future message series. And right after Easter, we're going to be in the Beatitudes. And then following that, we're going to finish up Matthew 5. That's going to take us all the way to the end of the summer. Really excited about God's Word. I hope you're ready to learn and grow. And I want to thank you for your support and prayers. In my time away, we were able to invest in a lot of people to help them to see God's heart for the whole world. It's called Perspectives on the World Christian Movement, and something I've been teaching the last number of years. And I want to ask you to just keep that in the back of your mind. And maybe the opportunity will come for you to be involved in that in the future. If you'd like to have a taste of that, a week from Wednesday night, I'll be teaching at Johnson Ferry Church. And if you are not committed on Wednesday night and you have a few hours you can share, you can come as my guest. We know a lot of you are tied in here, and we don't want to take you away from that. But if you'd like to find out more about God's heart for the world and just to see what He's up to, let me know. Be glad to give you details for that evening as well. Isn't it great to have reunions? You enjoy those. And when people get together, last night, my wife and I had the privilege of being with some friends who had gathered with friends from high school and some here from Summit. And they just enjoyed that special time together. There'll be times I'll be going through an airport and someone will be coming to visit family. And everybody's there at the welcome area with balloons and a great welcoming time. And it's just such a joy to see that, especially when those soldiers are returning home from overseas. Man, that just sends chills up and down my spine when I see that wonderful welcome. Well, we've got somebody coming back for us as well. And I want to invite you to get ready, to live ready, and to stay ready. Are you looking forward to His return? Let's read about how to get ready in Luke chapter 12. Beginning in verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. God, we love reunions. We even think about Valentine's Day coming up when hardworking spouses will take some time together to celebrate love. When family members will come together, when friends will gather. God, we especially want to pray for those that may not even have a special person for Valentine's Day, that they'll know how much you love them and how much we love them as well. And God, we cannot wait for your return. We want to be ready, and we want to live in a way that would bring glory to you because you are our master. So we thank you for your word, and today we pray you'll speak through it clearly to us, and you'll show us how to live and stay ready for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you can be seated. The second coming of Jesus is a very popular topic in the Bible. In fact, Ray Summers, who is a commentator, has counted. He must have a lot more time than I do. Because he went through the New Testament and he counted that Christ's return is mentioned 318 times in 260 New Testament chapters. That means that more than once every chapter, Jesus' return is mentioned. And he says that out of every 25 verses in the New Testament, one of them deals with the return of Jesus Christ. And in this passage that we just read, these four short verses, we see some powerful imagery that Luke reports to us that Jesus said about his return. And up on the stage today, we have illustrations of that. We have clothing. Here at the front, we have a lamp. On this side, we have a door. And they symbolize for us how we can get ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And here is what we know. There are two very certain facts about Jesus' return. And this is really all we need to know at this point. One is this: our Master is coming back. Jesus Christ is returning. He promised that that would happen. And the second fact is this: we don't know when. You don't need to try to predict it. You don't need to take all your time concerned about that. The key is to be ready, because that's what the last verse of our parable that we just read tells us. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So what do? Be ready. Live ready. Stay ready. That's what we're going to focus on today. Maybe another series we'll talk about his return and go into more details. But right now the focus is on being ready. He's coming back. We don't know when that time is going to come, but we are challenged and exhorted to be ready for that awesome moment when he returns. In verse 37, Jesus says, "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes." So, how do we prepare? Four simple ways to prepare for his awesome return. The first is this: make sure Jesus is first. If he is first in our lives, in our priorities, then we're ready. And if we keep him first, we will stay ready. Notice how many times the word master is used in our text today. In verse 36, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. Verse 37, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Verse 38, it will be good for those whose master finds them ready. Sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? What does master mean? Master means boss, leader, CEO, COO, Lord of all. We can use a lot of synonyms to describe Jesus as master. Basically, what that means is that we are inviting him to be in charge. Sometimes we'll hear people say, "I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and later on I made him my Lord." I think I understand what they're talking about. It's a process of growth. But we don't have the option of separating those two. Jesus Christ is both Savior and Lord. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I have everything together all the time. I don't have everything together. God is still working on my life. I am still understanding more and more about lordship as I grow. But it does mean that the desire of our heart now is for him to be our leader, our boss, our master. It's a both and relationship, Savior and Lord. So when Christ is master, we say to him, "Lord," the answer is yes. Now, what's your question? It must start with lordship, and then we follow through with obedience. And when Jesus is master, here's something we will do automatically. And this will be the focus of our message here today. We will serve him. I will serve. When Jesus is Master, I will serve. Notice what verse 35 says. Be dressed for service. Now, you may remember the King James Version of the Bible uses these words, let your loins be girded with truth, with service. Now, we don't use those terms a lot today. What does that mean? We have this as an illustration. This is a type of robe. When people dressed in the biblical days, they had long robes that would go all the way down to their feet. In fact, today, as I'm in that area of the world, many men and women still wear long robes. Have you ever tried to run fast with a long robe? It's a little dangerous. It doesn't work too well. So a lot of times they would have sashes around the middle of the robe, and they would take the end of their robe and they would kind of loop it around, tie it down, where then their legs, their feet were a little bit more free, and when they run, they don't trip up as much. It's really a good illustration for us today. If we're going to serve, we need to make sure that there's nothing in our lives that is tripping us up, that is hindering us from running that race effectively, from serving Christ that way. So I want to ask you this morning, as we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us about serving, is there something in your life that's hindering your movement spiritually? Is there something that's causing you to trip up? Is there sin that's keeping you from being an effective servant of Christ? Is there some habit that you have that's going on right now that's keeping you from being more effective as a servant, as a follower of Jesus? Is there a busy schedule? You're so slammed, you have no time at all to serve. Is that the issue? What is it that's holding you back? Have you had some kind of a bad experience in the recent past, and you're kind of wounded, and as a result of that, you're hesitant about stepping out to serve and to experience God's power in that time in your life? Let me tell you something. When you serve Christ followers, you are connecting with your reason to be alive. Those of you who are doing it, you know what I'm talking about. It brings unbelievable purpose and meaning in our lives. We realize this is why we have been created. We have been designed to serve God. And if we're not serving in some way, we are missing out on that which will bring meaning and purpose in life. So are you going to sit and soak, or will you serve? Which will it be for you? I love Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. In that verse it says, for we are God's workmanship, and we've bolded and highlighted that word for you, created in Christ Jesus for what reason? To do good works, to serve, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I love that word translated workmanship. In the Greek, it's poema. It is from that word that we get our English word poem. Poetry. You, Christ follower, are God's poetry in motion. He has designed you unlike any other human being in the history of mankind. No one's like you. He's made you for the express purpose of coming into a relationship with Him, growing in Him, and then serving Him in a unique way. You have been custom designed to serve, and you are needed in the body. I just wish that I could share this with all of you individually, face to face, to encourage you that way. You have been designed by God to serve, and when you serve, you are going to find unbelievable blessings. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Jesus uses another analogy to describe spiritual readiness, and that's the lamp. I'm so thankful for Jimmy and for Greg who were able to get me these props here today. But I want you to know this lamp up here is nicer than any lamp they would have had in the first century world. Basically, they would have had a bowl with some oil in it, and maybe some homemade wick that they could light up. But they used it all the time. We know we're ready to serve when Christ gets the credit for everything that we do. And that's our third point today. Christ gets the credit. He's the one who receives the light, the publicity, the glory. Notice verse 35. And keep your lamps burning. Now remember, in their day, they didn't have electricity. So they had to have these crude lamps. And it's vital that they keep that lamp burning, because if the master returns from a trip and the lamps are not burning, it's an insult to the master. That's part of their culture. If the light is put out, it says, well, they weren't ready for me. They weren't thinking about me. They were just thinking about themselves. And if the servants did not keep those lamps lit, they could lose their jobs. They could be terminated for that. As I was thinking about this passage, I thought about Jesus' words. I'm sure many of you have already thought of that. In Matthew 5, 16, you remember what Jesus says? In the same way, let your light shine before men. Why? So that people will think you're a cool dude? No, not at all. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. For what purpose? And praise your Father in heaven. The purpose of serving is never to bring attention to ourselves. It's always to reflect the glory back to Jesus Christ. So, will you shine for Him? In the biblical days, neighbors would pass the house. They would look over and they would see the lights still on. And whenever they would see lights shining, here's what they knew. Hey, the people inside are ready for the master to return. They're bringing honor and glory to the master. It would show that they're excited about his return. It's a beautiful symbol of the way that we should live in our lives. It takes time to do it. It's going to take money to do it, folks. It's going to take your talents. It's going to take service and sacrifice. Are you ready? Or do you want to just take it easy all the time? God is asking us to step out. And we have a great model, don't we? Did Jesus do that for us? Man, He gave it all. He gave His life for us. Can someone look at my life and see the light of Jesus? And see the life of Christ? And then Jesus speaks about a door. Again, not that nice. Would not have been finished, painted, doorknobs. But it illustrates the point. What does a door have to do with readiness? Readiness means this. I am flexible. I am available. I am on call. I'm ready. Pick your synonym. Look at verse 38. It will be good for those whose servants, or those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. Now, in our story, the master is off at a wedding celebration. If any of you have weddings on the horizon, I want to help you feel a lot better about your expense and the time and the investment in that. Because a biblical wedding reception could last up to 7 days. Wow, feel better about your wedding reception? Now that's a celebration, isn't it? Crazy stuff, 7 days. And the master might be gone the whole week. He could be gone for the whole 7 days. Or he might come back any time during that week. The servants don't know when. Does that sound familiar? That's our lives today. What do the servants do? Do they just sit there looking at the door, waiting for the door to open? No, they don't do that. They're busy with other tasks. They're busy serving. They're involved in the routines of life. But what happens when the master does finally come and knocks on the door? Does the door of our life have a do not disturb sign on it? Sorry, I've got too much going on. Too busy. Can't stop. Can't be flexible. Can't change. Does it look like this? I want to invite you to change the sign. I want to invite you to put the words, "Please do disturb," on the door of your life. So when the Savior comes, He knows you are ready. You are ready to serve. You are ready to be involved in His work. And here, I want to warn you, when the Savior comes to knock on the door of our lives, and when He invites us to serve, He's not going to knock forever. We don't know how long He'll knock. But the key is we need to open the door as soon as possible. Because if we don't, what the Bible says, He will move on to some other believer and knock on the door of their lives to invite them to be involved in His work. Have you been ignoring His knock, His call, His invitation to serve and follow Him? In order to receive more opportunities to serve, we are going to have to be faithful with the current one He's given us. We can't move beyond assignment one to assignment two. We've got to take care of it first, be obedient, and then He'll be ready to keep knocking. Are you ready for that? And as always, whenever we're obedient, God blesses it unbelievably. This is so amazing. We read this amazing truth in verse 37. If we allow God to disturb us, if we say, "Please do disturb," we are going to experience unbelievable, indescribable rewards. We are unbelievably blessed. Let me just say, off the charts. Look at verse 37 again. "Truly I tell you, He will dress Himself to serve." That's the Master. He will dress Himself to serve? Really? "Will have them," that's the servants, "recline at the table and will come and wait on them." This blows me away. The God of the universe would do that to us, His servants? Jesus says that if we as servants are prepared and ready for His return, and we show it through serving, shining for His glory, being available when He knocks on the door of our lives, that Jesus will serve the servants. What an amazing God we have. Amen. He will invite us to sit down and say, "Okay, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to take care of your needs." This is a shocking offer. There's no God like this anywhere. Only capital G God. It's unthinkable in that culture for a master to sit the servants down and to serve them. And you know what that's really a picture of? It's an image of something that's going to come in John 13 when Jesus has His followers sit down. Remember that? He takes a towel, wraps it around His waist, kneels down, takes off His outer clothing, and begins to wash the feet of His disciples. I feel kind of like Peter. Wouldn't you? "Lord, are you sure? You're going to wash our feet? Don't do that, Lord. We should be doing this for you instead of you doing this for us." And Jesus doesn't stop His unbelievable service there. He carries it all the way to Golgotha. And He sacrifices Himself on the cross, where He completely and fully pays the price for our sins. That's our servant Savior. And the Bible is very clear about all the rewards of faithfulness. They're unbelievable. When the Master tells you He is coming back, it's really easy to get excited about it, isn't it? But here's the key. As time goes on, it's easy to think about it less and less, to forget that He's coming, to keep it on the forefront of our hearts and minds. You're ready and excited during the first watch of the evening. That's what the Jews were used to. They had three watches in their evening. The first is basically 9 to 12, second 12 to 3, third 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. 9 to 12, you know, we're awake, we're doing okay spiritually. But what happens during the second watch? We might get distracted, we might get a little weary, busy with other responsibilities. And then how about the third watch of the night? It's so easy just to go to sleep. and forget completely about our Master's returning. Where are you today? Are you living like you're on that first watch, ready to say, please do discern, I'm ready? A famous preacher from past years was named C.H. Spurgeon. You may have heard of him. And he was speaking to his congregation one day about the return of Christ. And he said to them that at the very moment he was speaking to them in this message, that he had dogs sitting back in his home waiting at the front door, excited about his return. Now, if you have dogs, you know what I'm talking about. Yesterday, I was in a hospital, heard something I've never heard before over at Scottish Rite, that they bring hospital dogs into the patient's rooms. Did you know that? I'd never heard about that. I got a picture of one of them that jumped up on Cassandra's bed and was hanging out with her. That just had to bring joy to these kids. I think that's a great strategy. But dogs are always waiting for their master's return, right? So he's talking about these dogs. And he says, at the first sound of my carriage wheels, when I return, they get excited and they run to greet me. Why? Because their master had come home. And then he added the following humorous thought. And I want you to see these in his own words. He says, oh, if we loved our Lord as dogs love their masters, how we should catch the first sound of his coming and be waiting, always waiting, and never happy until at last we should see him. And then he goes on to say, pardon me for using a dog as a picture of what you ought to be, but when you have attained to a state above that, I will find another illustration to explain my meaning. Ouch. May 1 John 2:28 be our model for living. And now, dear children, continue in him, that's Christ, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. And here's what I've done for you today. Most of you were able to get a bulletin as you came in. If you did not, you can pick one up on the way out. Because on the back of the outline, I have listed some opportunities, just some samples of opportunities where you can serve. Understand, this is not a complete list by any means. I just want to begin to cast vision because I have a big dream for this church. I'll tell you about it at the very end of this list. It is God-sized, and you and I can't make it happen. But that's a part of dreams, isn't it? Bigger than us. Here's what I want to have. I want to have a ministry called Serve Central, where we have on that a list of every service opportunity that we can find that we know of, where you can be involved in the kingdom business. Maybe there'd even be someone who'd like to facilitate that process to help people discover their spiritual gifts, their God-given personality, so that they can know where they can plug in and serve, and we can direct people in that way. Maybe there'll be someone here today, and God would place that on your heart. And here is what I really want you to understand that is vitally important. If you are going to start a ministry and lead it, you must take ownership. We really need you to do it. We don't need you to delegate that back to us who are the equipping staff. We're going to be behind you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to promote it, but we can't do it all. In fact, if we did, that would be so selfish, because we want you to have the joys of serving. What are some opportunities? You may have heard of Trail Life and American Heritage Girls that have just started. Kids that can enjoy camping and character building opportunities, brand new. We have some people who've really invested in that. Connections leaders for 11th and 12th grade girls. Do you have a passion for that upper high school girls' age range? There's a need for you to serve. A new ministry on the horizon that I am very excited about, Celebrate Recovery. We have right now a couple of ladies who are ready to roll. We need other teammates, some men who could be a part of that team, and a willingness to go through a training process where you will be on the front lines to help people who are struggling with addictions, who have gone through divorce, who have had painful childhood experiences, and they need to gather with people who are going to love them and point them to Jesus Christ. If God is putting that on your heart, then why don't you let us know? We'll direct you to the facilitators of that ministry. Baker Elementary Special Needs Event coming up. Would you like to help? And how about connecting with a school on an ongoing basis to love those teachers and administrators and students and to provide ongoing service and support, especially to those that are close to our home base here? We're going to hear more about international missions in the future. Folks, I am focusing almost solely on home base right now, getting us started, firmly grounded, ready to move forward. And then another one of my dreams is that Summit will be a global impact church. I believe that's going to happen. But right now, we are already hearing from people that have other places in the world on their hearts. One of the men contacted me about Mexico. For people who have building and skilled labor backgrounds that might be willing to help internationally. How about the prayer ministry? You know, there's some of you that say, oh, I just don't have the physical ability to get out. I'm stuck in. All I can do is pray. Folks, that's foundational. Remember our earlier message in this series? We got to pray like crazy. That's got to be the foundation of everything we do. Would you like to be on the front end of ministry by being in the prayer, intercession, ministry? Builders for Christ. Oh, what an ongoing legacy they have here at Summit for many, many years. They're going to be involved at Camp Grace at the end of February and the first part of March. A wonderful ministry. The first full week of June. If you're interested, we have leaders ready for you to serve. The James Ministry, that's new to me. I want you to know yesterday and the day before yesterday when I took my prayer walk, I went down the end of Moon Station. As I turned to the right, the very last house on the right, our James people were there helping a single mom in a critical time in her life, and I was so proud. Oh, man, it just sent chills. I stopped, met the mother, the sons. We prayed together. I told her every time I walked by that house, which will be probably six times a week, I'm going to pray for them. Maybe you would like to be involved in helping in construction needs, repairs around the area. How about the Summit Baptist Christian Academy graduation? Just an event that's upcoming on May 8th. How about serving as a volunteer with the Library Media Center there? We have needs for office volunteers on Friday mornings, special projects that we have. Those are going to grow in number as time goes on. How about data entry? Very soon, we're going to be inviting every single one of you to update your mailing and contact info because we are so out of date. I am sending out calls and emails that are returned undeliverable. We want to get updated. You're going to hear about that. We're going to need every single one of you to help us get updated. Maybe some of you might like to help with getting that into our data system. Homeowners meeting hospitality. We have groups that come up here. I've seen them during the week. What if a connections class took on one of those projects and just provided some refreshments and loved them? We had a first-time guest here last week because their homeowners association had been using this facility. How about helping single moms in this body? Do you have a heart for them? God does. They need you to step in. How about the sign ministry to get the word out to invite people here? We're going to be having a new senior living facility built in our area in Acworth called Dogwood Forest in the spring. Volunteers are already stepping up to serve there, as well as visiting our people in hospitals, shut-ins, assisted living centers. We've got a list now on the board that's longer than it's been in the 3 months that I've been here. What if you decided that once a month you would go and love on those people in Christ's name? Jimmy has been asking for guitar players for our worship time ever since I've been here and before. I want to be his advocate now. We would like to add to this incredible worship ministry. If some of you have that background, why don't you check into it? By checking into it doesn't mean you're committed to serve, but I would love to add that element to our worship. How about you? Maybe we'll have some step up and help out. Facility repair here, renovations for the future. How about in the preschool area and in the children's area? Once a month rotation on Sunday mornings. Kids Bible Club happening right now at 11 o'clock service. How about Awana on Wednesday night? Maybe you could help clean the nursery laundry, the toys, the furniture. Big events that are coming up. This morning, one of the children said, hey, are you going to go to our camp this summer? I said, I am. I can't wait to go. my favorite age groups, man. I can get away from boring adults and have a blast. Can't wait for that to happen. How about you? How about you? Would you reach out and be an inviter and a bringer on a regular basis? Would you be available for spontaneous service when needs arise? This morning, the young and sleepless class, have you heard of them? Young adults that meet volunteered to help out with a mom who just gave birth to a baby. They're going to bring some meals there. Spontaneously, in their connections class, they said, we're going to reach out and help. And man, I heard so many stories as I was out of town about how you helped during the snow and ice of the week before last. I want to call that Atlanta's Demolition Derby Day, because I heard quite a few stories. But I tell you, I heard some awesome stories about how you spontaneously got involved and reached out and loved and helped others. And I was so proud. And I do want you to feel better about the weather, because Wednesday morning I woke up to 12 inches of snow where I was speaking. So feel better about the snow, even the little bit that might be coming. Did Lee say an eighth of an inch on Wednesday? Here is my dream. And I'm going to close the message with this. My dream is that Summit Church will be the most giving, loving, and serving church in the world. I told you I was crazy. I don't mean just on Moon Station Lane. Man, I have never had that many amens before. But that is my dream, not because of who we are, but because of who our awesome God is. And I just want you all to have the joy of service. So let's pray now, and let's ask God to show us what He's inviting us to do. Would you listen to the Spirit now? Father, we pause and ask You to speak. We love serving You, and we just want to do it effectively. All for You, all for Your glory, all for the kingdom. God, what would happen if every one of us got serious about that and we were dressed for service and we shine as lights for Your glory and we put a sign over our heart that says, please do disturb. Whatever watch of the night, come on in. We are ready. Wow. We can't wait to see what that's going to mean. So speak to everyone here, would you, God? Individually, as only Your Spirit can. We look forward to what You're going to do in us and through us. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen. I'd love to invite you to stand with me as we move to our response time. This is our time to respond. Hopefully, you're doing that even now as the Spirit has been speaking to you about steps you need to take. But we want to invite you to the kingdom. If you're not a follower of Christ yet, we'd love to have you on the team here, and we'd love to be involved in that part of your life. If you'd like to share that publicly, we would rejoice in that. It may be that God's leading some of you to become a part of our family here, this faith family at Summit. If He's leading you to do that, just know we would love to celebrate in that decision as well. We're going to have some people at the front who are always available to pray and to serve you. There may be a prayer need on your life. There may be something God's speaking to you about. You just want someone else to join you in that prayer time. We'll be up front, but also feel free to take time at the altar by yourself, to kneel, to stand, to pray where you are. Let this be your time of responding to God. He's knocking, so let's say, please do disturb. Okay? As God speaks, please come.